Because as we approach the end of time, you will discover that most Christians are not serious about this goal. And you may discover that most Christians, even in CFC, are not serious about the goal which once upon a time they had, which is to become like Jesus Christ more and more every day. Do you believe it is to be every day that we are to become more and more like Christ? It's not like that in the beginning. When we are born again, it's an up and down life. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, and up and down. And that is normal. It's like a child learning to walk. It's walking and then falling again. And an up and down experience is very common in the early part of our Christian life, in the early part of a marriage. But it's not God's will that a marriage should be rocky, like, you know, these buses going through potholes in the road throughout our life. In the early part, it's okay. We shouldn't be discouraged if there are falls in the early part of our life when we are newly converted or newly married. Don't get discouraged. It won't be forever. But after we've gone along for a while and it's not becoming a little smoother, then we need to sit back and maybe wait on the Lord a little bit. Maybe fast and pray and say, Lord, what's wrong? Have I got my eyes fixed on the goal? See, when you drive a scooter or a car, you always have a destination. And you always keep that in mind. I've got to get there. And you don't stop to watch some interesting things happening on the road. You don't even stop to watch accidents, because you've got to get a goal. You've got to reach a certain place by a certain time. And if we are just as serious about our Christian life as we are when we drive or a scooter or a car to get somewhere, I think most of us would have made a lot more progress than we have done by now. So all I'm trying to encourage you is, this is not to make anybody feel guilty. I hate guilt trip preaching. You know, there's a lot of preaching which makes people feel guilty. That's not our goal in the church. That brings condemnation. What I'm trying to do is, you know, focus the lens so that you see clearly what the goal is, and to be encouraged always to keep that before us. And we also know Romans 8:28, which says, God makes everything work together for our good. And that also many people misunderstand. It's one of the most misunderstood verses among Christians. They think the good is, I'll get a better job, I'll get a higher salary, or I didn't get this house, but I'll get a better house. Not at all. God may give you a job with a lower salary. You may end up marrying a girl who's not so pretty as the first one who rejected you. So God works all things for your good. Doesn't mean these earthly good, which is for a few seconds. By a few seconds, I mean 100 years. 100 years is a few seconds for eternity, in eternity's time scale. So God's not making sure that these few seconds on earth, we are very, very comfortable. And no, we may be like that, but not God. God's interested in our long-term goal, where we're going to spend all eternity, that we have no regret there. I want to say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, if you're a serious Christian, you will long that when you get into the Lord's presence, which all of us will do one day, you will have no regret over the way you lived, at least from the time you got light. And if you've come into this church and been here for 2 years and heard the preaching, you have got light. At least from that time. Forget all the years that were wasted before that. But that you'll have no regret over the way you lived, the choices you made in your life. I want to live like that. I'll tell you honestly, I'm not preaching what I don't practice. I seek to live by what I preach for many, many years now. That I believe that everything God is working in my life, some of it is painful, some of it is difficult. There are prayers that do not get answered as I want. They are answered, but God's answer may be no. God's answer may be wait. I may want something immediately and God says no, wait. Or sometimes He just says no. He answers it. So all of us face that. The Apostle Paul faced a no answer once when he was sick and he didn't get healed. Timothy faced it. But God made everything work for their long-term good, and that is His will for us. And we must align ourselves with God in His purpose for our life. And God is working everything for my good on the outside. He's also working inside us by the Holy Spirit to align us with that. Because we're not aligned when we come in the beginning. We're not aligned. When we get aligned, we move very fast. And if progress in our Christian life is not as fast as it should be, it's because, like a train, every now and then going off the rails and getting stuck, and then get put it back on the rails again and then move forward. But when it's on the rails, it moves really fast. But if it goes off the rails a little while, then it takes time to put it back on the rails. So we got to make sure that our mind is aligned with God in His purpose. And I'll tell you this, like I've often said, if you listen to what I have preached here for nearly 40 years, I can guarantee you one thing, I can stake my life on it, that you will have no regret when Christ comes again. That's for sure. You may not make as much money as you would have made otherwise. You may not be as popular with people as you could have been, but you will have no regret. And it's a question of what you want to live for. You want to live for the temporary honor of people on earth? I finished with that long ago. Or to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So I want to encourage you to pray the prayer of Moses, Psalm 90, in this connection. Psalm 90, we read here in a very well-known verse that we have quoted many, many times, but always worth meditating on. Do you know that this is the only psalm written by Moses? David was a man after God's own heart, but he slipped up seriously towards the end of his life in adultery and had a very unforgiving attitude just before he died. Many people don't know that. To me, that was as serious as his adultery. But Moses, even though he slipped up once, and it was really a small thing, he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. But he cared for God's people. But it's written about Moses at the end of his life, and that's what I want to read to you as before we look at Psalm 90. In Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, "Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." That's really something. The Lord once said in another passage of scripture, "With Moses, I don't speak in dreams and visions, but I speak face to face." You read that in Exodus, you read that in Numbers. "With Moses, I don't speak through dreams and visions, but face to face as a man speaks to his friend. We live in a day when a lot of people glory in dreams and visions. People speak about visions that they have seen. And I believe it's good in such a time to hear what the Lord says in Numbers 12. He says in verse 6, Numbers 12:6, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I'll make myself known to him in a vision or speak with him in a dream, but not so with my servant Moses. With him," verse 8, "I speak mouth to mouth, openly, not in dark sayings. He beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Do you know that it's a far greater honor and privilege for Jesus to speak to you face to face and not through a vision or a dream? I believe that. I want the Lord to speak to me face to face. I want to be like Moses and not like the others. And I want to say to all of you here, you can be like that. Because Jesus said, greater than Moses was John the Baptist, but in the kingdom of heaven, the least one can be greater than him. We must have faith. You can speak to Jesus face to face like a man speaks to a friend. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that.